Is it possible to retain a strong, healthy marriage? Jimmy Needham says two things can help any marriage thrive.
If you can come humble into this thing, and you both can come with a working understanding of covenantal love, I just don't know any Christian marriage that can't work under those conditions.
My unfailing love, for you will not be moved, for you will not be moved, my unfailing love for you.
And this is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth, co-author of You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. For November 2nd, 2020, I'm Dana Gresh. Well, today you're in for a treat. What's that?
Sounds like a bell to me.
Yeah. Sorry, that's the, we have this bell that we ring in the office when there's good news that happens. And what are you guys coming in here for? We're recording Revive Our Hearts right now, guys.
What's happening?
What is up?
I rang the bell.
Why did you ring the bell?
Because it's Nancy's 5,000th show.
Coming up.
150,000 minutes of clear biblical truth. How about that?
Wow.
Congratulations,
5,000 shows. Wow.
5,000.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. 5,000. That makes me feel really old.
Here's to 5,000 more, Nancy. Hopefully, you'll get there, too.
You know what it makes us feel, Nancy? It makes us feel free, full, and fruitful. So thank you for your many years, 19-plus years of biblical content. And we're so happy to celebrate your, I guess, technically, Nancy, your 5,000th. Program was Friday, but we were ending the cry out prayer challenge, and we just really wanted to end on an appropriate, quiet, pensive note. So today we're starting out strong with celebration on your 5,000th and first, did I say that correctly? Program.
Well, thank you so much. And I'll tell you what, all the glory to Jesus. I have felt from day one up through this current day, each time I go to record, Lord, I can't do this. I am weak. I don't know what to say, how to do this. And each time, each day, each program, the Lord has given supernatural strength and wisdom and encouragement. And I look back and I feel like I need him as much today as I did back then. Mm. I'm just so grateful for his grace, the supernatural desire and ability he gives to each of us to do whatever he calls us to do. So it's been such a privilege, such an honor. And I sometimes think about the predecessor of this program, Elizabeth Elliott in Gateway to Joy. She did this for 13 years, not quite as many years as Revive Our Hearts has been, but she didn't start until she was 63. Oh. And then went for 13 years.
Now that makes me tired.
And I'm not even 63 yet, so I'm thinking, Lord.
So you got another good 13 years in you.
Well, whatever the Lord gives strength and grace for. And Dana, you've given so much lift and help to this ministry. So thank you for the partnership. I love serving with you and with your team there at True Girl and our team here at Revive Our Hearts. So may Christ be magnified and all the glory and thanks to him.
Well, let me pray for him to give you strength for the next 5,000. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for my friend Nancy. I know that the women listening right now, their hearts are just so full of gratitude for how they've felt like she's their friend, their mentor, their wise advisor. We each feel so close to her through these airwaves. And Lord, we have grown in freedom. We have grown in the fullness of understanding the gospel and living it out. And we have become more fruitful because of her faithfulness. Will you continue to strengthen her for the years to come as you continue to use her? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Well, back to where we were a moment ago. Today, you are in for a treat. Joining Nancy in the studio this week is Christian songwriter Jimmy Needham and his wife, Kelly. Perhaps you've heard Jimmy on tour back when Christian concerts were still happening across the nation. Maybe you've listened to one of his albums. But being a musical artist isn't his most important role. He's the husband of Kelly, who's a new but good friend to me and to Revive Our Hearts. you may recognize her name. Together, they have three children. And you're about to find out what it's like for Jimmy and Kelly at home, in the trenches, facing the real life ups and downs when the spotlight is off. Here's Nancy to begin today's conversation.
Well, Jimmy and Kelly Needham, welcome to Revive Our Hearts. You've just traveled in from Texas. You're on your way to Detroit, and you were able to stop by our studio this morning. We're so glad to have you visiting with us here at Revive Our Hearts.
Oh, so glad to be here.
We are so delighted, yeah.
And Kelly, you've been a longtime friend of Revive Our Hearts, and your husband sounds like he has too, but this is the first time we're getting to meet. But you've been connected to this ministry in so many ways over the years, and I love your heart. I love your spirit. I was listening to you speaking on while I was on the treadmill yesterday, listening to one of your messages on biblical womanhood. It was so good. And I'm just thrilled we can have this conversation today and let our listeners get to know you better as a couple and the story that God is writing in your lives. Now, that song we just listened to is a song, Jimmy, that you wrote to propose to Kelly. Was this kind of a last-minute idea, or did you know when you were going to pop the question? Tell us how that happened.
Yeah. I got some advice from one of my mentors while I was dating not to write a song to her until I was sure we were going to get married. You know, he was like, that's probably pushing the, you know, ball forward too fast with that. So it was everything I could do not to restrain myself not to write it. So when I finally settled on the day I was going to propose to her and all, okay, I can be released to write all this stuff that's in my heart.
Did it come easily, the song?
It did. It did. And also, I'm not a really prolific songwriter. I don't just crank them out. So, like, even when a song comes fast for me, it comes slower than other songwriters. So I was working on it all the way up until the moment she showed up for the proposal moment.
Kelly, paint for us a picture of what the context was there. And did you have any idea this was going to happen?
I knew that we were going to get engaged soon. We were young enough that we had had to talk to our parents before. And so he had actually sent me on a scavenger hunt on my birthday. So I was going from location to location. I had not yet seen him. And I was starting to get a sense of what was coming. And at the moment, I had been blindfolded by two of his friends and led to a car and was being driven somewhere.
That sounds like there's a special occasion coming.
Yes, exactly. Sounds really good. And then I was brought to the place where he was, and I'm blindfolded. And we were at the place where he had first asked me to start dating him when I showed up.
Yeah. Man, what a guy. So she.
So was this outside?
This
inside?
Is outside. Okay. It's like a
little gazebo
thing.
You had lights all over it, flowers, rose petals, candles.
I mean, it was
decked out.
One of my friends was in the bushes nearby with a video camera, like capturing it. In hindsight, it all feels very bizarre. But she gets dropped off and is walking forward, and I have my guitar. And it was probably 5 minutes before she showed up that I finished the last line. Which, wow, that just sounds so stressful to say right now.
Did you have it all memorized?
I don't even remember how. I think I probably had a piece of paper there. Gosh, that whole thing feels like such a blur. It was just such an intense moment. I was. I knew what she was going to say, but yeah, I mean, you're debuting this thing and you've coordinated this for a month or two, and just, man, I hope all the pieces fall into place. The song was actually based out of a moment in Isaiah 54:10, where God says, though the mountains be moved or the hills be shaken, my love for you will not be removed. And, I just wanted to capture for her what the Lord says over us, you know? And that's actually what's inscribed on her wedding band too.
So you were saying God's love for us is faithful. It's a covenant-keeping love.
That's what He does.
And I want to mirror that. The kind of love you wanted to reflect in your relationship with each other.
It's been really fun for me over the years on the road with Him when girls would come up after He performed that song and just essentially communicate, I really long for marriage like this. And I would get to tell them that song is based out of the Word of God from the Lord to His people. So it is for you too. And just to get to encourage young women that this is the mirror.
We are loved in that way.
That's right.
By Christ.
And this is the shadow. We have the substance already. And you know, I got to tell these young women, you have the substance already. Enjoy it now. So it's one of my favorite songs of His.
Yeah, Robert and I have said all along from earliest days of our courtship and then through our wedding and in our marriage now, that we want to reflect the loveliness, the love, the covenant-keeping nature of Christ. And marriage is that picture, that earthly picture of an incredible, eternal reality. Not that marriage isn't real, but it points us to an even greater eternal reality. So I love that that was the foundation on which you built your marriage. And you guys were really young when you got married.
Yeah. We started dating in 19. We're married at 20. I proposed to her on her 20th birthday. So, and then it was like 5 months later, 4 months later that we were married. So,
okay, roll it back a little bit. And how did you meet? Just a little bit of your journey.
Well, Kelly loves to rub it in my face that I don't actually remember the first time we met, but—
That is true.
That is
but
true.
But it's okay.
To my shame.
You were so young.
I know, so young. Yeah, so naive. I didn't know.
Were you in the same church, same—
We were at the same college, and we had a lot of mutual friends. We grew up in the same part of Houston, so we had a lot of connections already, and so we were just introduced by somebody who assumed we probably already knew each other because of those circles crossing. And then he eventually found out that I played violin, and he was releasing his first little independent record. And so that's how we initially started the conversation, started becoming friends. And my favorite thing to say about him is he was the first guy that I'd met in that season of my life that didn't grow tired of me talking about Jesus. That I kind of had a sense from other people, even other friends, that they were like, yeah, I love him too, but can we talk about something else now? And Jimmy never grew tired of that. And so I think our friendship really did blossom around just what we were reading in the Word, our love for God. And that's something that stayed true to this day. That's still what we talk about on date nights. It's what we're reading in the Word and what we're learning about God.
No doubt. And so we started, I was getting more shows just kind of regionally. And so I'd bring her out with my band and we'd play. And yeah, at some point it was just like, I can't do this anymore without, you know, telling this girl how I feel. So that moment went down at the gazebo, and the whole process was really quick. You know, it was 5 months dating, 4 months engaged. So we celebrated our one-year dating anniversary 3 months into marriage. You know, it was and we were the first of our friends to do this. So it was definitely like just crossing uncharted territory that we hadn't seen modeled. So it was a very interesting time and a really sweet time too. I love that we got married when we did.
And Jimmy, what was it that, as you got to know Kelly, really drew your heart toward her?
Yeah, well, I mean, she just ate Bible for one, which I loved. I'm a Bible guy. I just love the Word. I love meeting Christ in the Word. And she kept up and she challenged me and she, you know, we'd be driving to shows and she'd be like, hey, let's memorize Proverbs 4. I'm like, what? Who says that? Who says that on a band trip? You know, and so it was those types of things. It doesn't hurt that she's just gorgeous. That doesn't hurt, you know, but it was that she had a boldness about her too. She was the kind of girl who, you know, would engage with strangers and engage them with gospel content. And, you know, I feel like God's given me just a passion for evangelism too. And so like we would be on the road. I remember it was the weekend before I asked her to start dating me and we were traveling to a show in Texas.
So she was part of the band.
She's part of the band playing violin. And we, you know, it was a late night drive back and we all got out at a gas station and we go up to the counter. She starts talking to this lady, asking her, you know, how she's doing, how we can be praying for her. I was right there beside her and got to share the gospel with this gal. And we get in the car, and I just can't help but think, man, us together, we're like really effective for the kingdom in a way that us apart, we were less. And so it was just that thought of, man, yeah, when she's with me, I thrive and I see the gospel going forth in unique ways. And so it was like, man, how could we not, you know, see where this could lead, you know?
And that was actually what you said to me when you asked me to start dating you was, I think we're more effective together for the kingdom of God than apart. And we both were already on the same page about dating has one purpose, to see if we should be married, that there's a goal in that. And so we, from our initial conversations, had already used the M word, talked about marriage, but in just saying that that's what this would be and let's just try that out and see if this is a good fit. And I think that probably played into how quickly we were ready to get married. It just felt like in dating, it was quickly apparent to both of us. unless the Lord is going to put some big red flag in our way, this feels like the right thing for us. And so we sought a lot of counsel. We had a lot of older couples in our lives that were speaking into those decisions about getting married. We were still in college, all of those things.
Did some of them think it was you were a little young for that?
They definitely were. You know, there were some words of you're in college, Jimmy, you're starting a career, learning to be married. Those are three big weighty things to do all at once. But at the same time, you know, they both were saying, we see a lot of good in this and we feel like you're rightly looking at the situation, weighing those things well. And so not one of them that we talked to had said, we don't think this is a good idea. Every one of them said, with help and support, and if your parents are on board, we think this could be a great fit for you guys.
And we brought a lot of counsel in, you know, with many counselors, your plans will succeed. And so that's sort of been the pattern for our marriage. It's like we want to invite voices into the mix.
Love that.
You know, help us see what we can't see. Show us blind spots. And God's given us a lot of really great mentors and friends to walk alongside us and help us see those things.
Yeah. And we would come out of those conversations, especially talking about should we get married, and get in the car. And then Jimmy would say to me, get out a piece of paper. I want to write down what they said. And so we would write down the words of wisdom, encouragement, cautions that they said to us, and I still have that paper at home filed away. And so I really feel like Jimmy set the tone for that in our marriage of just every big decision, every move, every purchase, like house purchase, other people have been invited into that conversation. So
the first time that Robert and I sat down to talk about the potential of a friendship that might lead to marriage, this is one of the things he initiated and said, you know, we're both mature, older Christian leaders ourselves, but we want from the outset to draw people in who know us, who love us, who love Christ, and who will speak into this relationship. And I love that humility in him. And a good word to those who aren't married, who'd like to be, or who are in a relationship, considering marriage. Yeah. It's so easy to think, I got this. I can handle this. I don't need and looking at Robert at that point, he was in his late 60s, and he could have said, you know, I don't need anybody telling me whether this is good or not.
Sure.
But there was a humility there and saying we need the body of Christ. We need people speaking into our lives.
Yes. The more eyes, the better. Yeah, I agree.
Now, there's some moms listening who are thinking, that just seems so young. And today there is a tendency to wait to marry till much later. And your story isn't necessarily going to be everybody else's story.
Sure.
But I know you think there's some advantages in many cases to not waiting to marry. How have you processed that? And how are you going to process it with your kids who are still little?
Well, before we answer that, I think it's also worth dispelling some of the myths around young marriage. I think even when I was younger, I sort of embraced some of these ways of thinking, which there's a bit of wisdom in them. But for instance, when I was seeking some counsel from one of my mentors, and you know, just I was talking with him about sort of stage of life and. You know, at that point, I think maybe I had just gotten signed to a label, which doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean I got money, you know. It just means I was signed and they were hoping I would make them money. And you know, playing little regional shows, I wasn't, you know. And both of our dads are oil men, you know. So they're established white-collar workers. So, you know, they make
real jobs.
Real people jobs, yeah. So that was a tough sell, by the way, talking to her dad. Hey, I'm a musician and I want to marry your daughter. I was talking to my mentor just going, man, I don't have these, you know, tens of thousands of dollars put away. Like, I don't have enough to, you know, put down money on a mortgage. And
sometimes the conventional wisdom is you need to have all that set up.
You've got to have it all your ducks in a row. And and again, there is some wisdom to having some, you know, forethought about your future and all that. Absolutely. But my mentor, he surprised me. And this is a guy who was in his 40s at the time talking with me. He'd been married for a while. And he's like, Jimmy, I think you would be surprised at how cheaply you can do the early parts of your marriage. Mm-hmm. He's like, when I got married to my wife, we lived in a one-bedroom apartment and we did the bologna sandwich thing for lunch and we made it work. And we didn't make a lot of money, but we were conservative with our budget and we made it work.
Here's what I've said to young people talking about that specific point. If if you both have a contented heart,
yes,
and are willing mm-hmm. to live on less
yes.
than you may later, that can work. But if there's a love of things
yes.
or a love of money or a have to have a certain
sure.
you know standard of living, that's going to be difficult.
Yeah,
because that discontentment's going to affect every area of your marriage.
No doubt. Godliness coupled with contentment yeah. is great gain.
And I think the other lie that we see a lot in people who are young, and we felt a little bit of that, is this prolonged adolescence thing that just, I think young people in college are living in this sense of, I'm not a real adult, or I can't be, or they'll use the term adulting as if it's this thing that they do, but not who they are. Mm. And
I can wait for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the lie that the culture is telling people. And we had a lot of people in our lives who affirmed the opposite in us. And I know one of Jimmy's mentors that encouraged him, you're a man of God. You encourage me in my walk. You are, you know, just listed some things off in his life and said, only men of God do those things in my life, and just encouraged that. Mm-hmm. And just were reminding us that, no, you guys are, you are able to be mature adults at 18, 19, 20. That's a possibility. It's not like our mental capacity is limited at that point. There might be a choosing to live in some immaturity, but it is possible to walk in maturity and responsibility at that age. And so we like to encourage the college students in our small group that they should lean into that and trust the Lord in those things, but to not believe the lie that you're not a real adult till, you know, 25 or 26.
So if some younger people are considering timing for marriage, what would you say are the key things to make sure are true to feel that they could have a green light to go ahead?
Well, we've talked to a lot that are very young. And so depending on how young they are and how financially dependent they are on their parents, we're always quick to just encourage wanting to honor their parents. And so for us, that mm-hmm. was a really big part. We actually were coming to our parents saying, if you don't feel comfortable with this, then we are going to wait. We just felt like it was the right decision for us and wanted their input. So depending on where they are in that relationship, that is a key element.
So your parents gave their blessing.
They did, yeah. And we talked with them openly about it. We shared this wasn't just a fluke thing. We were watching Jimmy's career take off. He was getting encouraged by this label to already do a lot more shows. I could go on the road with him if we were married. And so we had reasons behind the pushing that forward quickly and getting to talk through that with them. And they got to ask questions of us and know that we had thought through it more than just, this would be fun. You know, mm-hmm. we had looked into cost. We had looked into those things. So they did both give us their blessing. And so we encourage young people to do that. And I think it also has to do with their personal maturity. So if we're seeing faithfulness in their life, in their walk with yeah. God, if we're seeing habits of self-discipline, of purity, of humility, then there is a way for us to encourage them. Those are the things that you need in marriage. You're already cultivating them. And then if those things are absent, if they see the timing as being right, but we see a lack of faithfulness in those little things, then there's more of a caution, less about timing and more about what's already being cultivated in their lives already leading up to that.
And of course, those foundational things of just love for Christ,
yes.
devotion to Him and His Lordship. If you both have that
mm-hmm.
and you both understand the nature of a covenant
yes.
and that how marriage
yes.
pictures that ultimate covenant, then you got a really great foundation.
I mm-hmm. couldn't agree more. And I'm so glad you said that, because that's usually our two big talking points with any young couple that's talking to us. You know, and in fact, I just had coffee with a guy who's going, is she the one? Do I need, you know, how do I know? Like, should there be like a heart that manifests over her head that I, you know, and it's like, ma'am, if you can come humble into this thing and you both can come with a working understanding of covenantal love, that this is you covenanting with one another, not just you chasing warm, fuzzy feelings.
So good.
If you have those two components, a sense of covenantal love, what that is, and a posture of humility, I just don't know any Christian marriage that can't work under those conditions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an amazing thing what is produced. If, you know, I feel like most every conflict in a marriage can be solved with a commitment to keeping covenant and a humble posture that can own when you mm-hmm. wrong them or when you need to grow, all those things.
And both of those are powered by love for God. I think the covenant, to seeing God's covenant faithfulness to us,
yes,
motivates a want to covenant to your spouse, and also enjoying him as satisfier of your soul, bread of life, living water, enables you to humble yourself to your spouse because you need less from them and can want more for them.
Yes.
If Jesus is for you, you're all in all.
That is so critical, Kelly. And I know you've mm-hmm. talked about this in a lot of contexts, but it's critical whether you're single
yes.
or married. If my identity is mm-hmm. and my satisfaction is found in anyone or anything mm-hmm. less than Christ, then I'm not going to be satisfied.
That's right. And I try to encourage single women in my life who are my age or young single women who are fighting that battle of, I really want to be married, that this feels like this unfulfilled longing that is going to destroy me. It's overarching in their life. And I'll remind them that battle's not going to go away when you get married. It's just going to change a little bit. So right now, being single, you're either going to be satisfied in the Lord or you're going to be looking to this fictional man who doesn't yet exist. In marriage, you're going to
probably doesn't exist at all.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's really just you want Christ. You just haven't, you know. And then in marriage, you'll either be satisfied in the Lord or you'll be looking to your spouse, that man who is in front of you, and will be asking questions like, why isn't he doing this? Why isn't he doing that? And he'll never be able to meet that standard for you. And that's not his job either, to be your God, to be the satisfier of your soul. He can't do that. So that trying to just unite myself with them and say, we face the same battle. It just looks a little different for me than it does for you in singleness. And if you start fighting that battle now, it will serve yes. you well in marriage because you'll be required to do the same thing every day when you wake up. Will I satisfy my heart in the Lord
yeah.
and be able to serve others? Or will I look to others to be that for me? And single women and married women fight that same thing. It just looks differently.
That's Kelly Needham. She and her husband, Jimmy, have been talking about viewing your marriage as an opportunity to serve and glorify God. They're here with Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth all this week. You won't want to miss it. Now, if you're a regular listener to Revive Our Hearts, you know you can hear this podcast every day of the year. Plus, you can hear our newly launched weekend podcast. Have you thought about what a privilege that is? There are people around the world who have little to no access to biblical content in their native language. They live where there are no Christian radio stations broadcasting truth, no women's ministry in their church. Maybe they don't even have a local church at all. We often hear from those women who come to us starved for the life-giving words of truth found on Revive Our Hearts. One woman from Egypt who can listen online in English wrote and said this, I have been repeatedly touched by what I hear on Revive Our Hearts. You're influencing the lives of others who live miles and miles away. I'm so thankful to God for this ministry and for your generosity in giving us the resources we need online for free. You know, we thank the Lord for the ability to provide Christ-centered content free of charge for our listeners. And we're only able to do that thanks to the generosity of those who support the ministry financially. If you appreciate what you hear on this program every weekday, would you consider being part of those who give to Revive Our Hearts to make this possible? When you support this ministry, you're helping us provide women all around the world with a message of hope in Jesus. And this week, as our way of saying thank you for making a gift, we'll send you a copy of Nancy's newest book, Born a Child and Yet a King. It's an Advent devotional, and it's available only from Revive Our Hearts. Now, it's the third book in Nancy's Advent series, and in it, you'll take a deeper look at familiar Christmas songs. I think they're going to come to life as they tell the story of Jesus and help you gain a sense of wonder this season. We want to make sure that you have it when December begins so that you can participate in all 31 days of these devotions. Visit reviveourhearts.com to make your donation or call us at 1-800-569-5959. When you call, be sure to ask for your copy of the new Advent devotional. That's 1-800-569-5959. When Kelly Needham married Jimmy, she was ready for a new exciting adventure as the wife of a Christian singer. But within a few weeks, she realized how difficult life on the road can be and how big a toll it can take on a marriage. Hey, I want to just remind you that tomorrow is our nation's presidential election, and lots of important state and local things are being voted on as well. Would you join me and Nancy and the rest of us at Revive Our Hearts in praying for our country? And also, get out there and vote if you haven't done so already. Kelly will be back tomorrow with her husband, Jimmy, to talk about how to prepare for struggles in your marriage. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth wants to help you find satisfaction in Jesus alone. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.